Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Podcast.
Roman numeral
IV.
The people in Rome were not happy with you.
I was going to say
and
that
I wasn't either.
I got like schooled last week on a lot of things I said, which is fine. your life is a learning opportunity, and I learned.
Maybe we can recap at the start of every episode the L's that you caught from the last episode.
I would call them L's, more so like...
L's a Roman numeral.
But for what?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
50?
See?
50?
That's not 50.
I don't know.
Maybe it is.
I don't know. 20, 50?
Anyways, definitely the Roman numerals. I'm sorry that I offended anybody in Rome. Also, I guess they're more useful than we thought, so I'll take that one.
All right.
The other one that... I totally didn't realize until some smart people called it out is Pokemon Scarlet and Violet. They were like, it's not on the opposite ends of the color wheel, but it's on the opposite ends of the spectrum.
That was amazing.
Because it's ultraviolet and infrared. And now I was like,
did not know that.
Yeah.
Hadn't thought of that.
And now the name is cooler than ever because I was like,
maybe a bit too detailed for most people, but... Congratulations for knowing that, folks. That's good knowledge.
I want to know the people that call that out, because multiple people call that out. Like, what is your background? Are you like a scientist?
Oh, yeah.
Or like some sort of genius?
Sure. Are you like some kind of genius?
Are you like some sort of Mensa or something? Because I certainly did not know that. I just knew the stuff I learned in like kindergarten, like green is opposite of red.
All right. Well, now that you're done recapping your failures, I have a question
Jeez,
for you.
That's harsh.
Are we the feel-good podcast of the year?
I want to be.
I think we might be.
I feel like we try to keep things like very positive.
Yeah.
Like that was kind of what Nintendo Minute was about
right.
too. Like we were very like, and we're just like happy people, I think, to begin with.
Right.
Like we're not, you know.
I mean, me more than you.
I mean,
you can get a little angry sometimes.
Oh, we have a
like Kirby here. You can get the frowny face, like the U.S. box art.
I'm a
that's
super
you.
Tough pink puff.
That's pretty much you, actually.
You think I'm Kirby?
Mostly friendly, but sometimes frighteningly angry.
Only when I'm hungry.
Right.
We do have a fun story about my freak out moment that you love to tell people. It's embarrassing.
It's so funny.
And now that I look back on it, I'm like, oh, that's pretty embarrassing.
Yeah.
But in the moment, I felt like I was like unleashing like
righteous indignation,
inner demon or something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah. All right, let's get down to business here.
Let's get
we
down
got some
to business.
Business.
We have a lot of cool stuff on the show upcoming for the show today. We have gotten a lot of questions from people about sort of like, how do you even get into the gaming industry
right.
if you want to work in video games. So this episode is really going to be about how we did that, you know, how our personal journeys in working in video games started. Maybe there's some helpful tips
sure.
that people can take, but maybe not. These are just our personal experiences.
Oh, I hope so.
I hope so. I
My
mean,
goodness.
We did get into the industry and then had pretty good, I would say, I would give myself a plus on the working in corporate video games career.
What
do you
plus.
Think? What do you think?
I give it an A plus.
Really?
Yeah.
See? I was not far off. Gold star.
Until today.
Oh.
We'll see how today goes.
Oh, no.
I'm going to ask you to give yourself a letter grade again.
Oh,
now that you
no.
just gave yourself an A+.
I think I gave it, my grade is going to go down last week from my mess ups on the Roman numerals and the infrared and ultraviolet. So, but yeah, we'll talk about sort of like how you can maybe break into the industry if you are interested in working in video games.
Yeah.
Because it's a very small industry. Can be very difficult to like get in.
Once you get in, there's no way out.
That's also true. Be ready for that though.
Yeah
you have to make a commitment because now you're in it forever. Lifetime contract. We obviously have games that we're playing.
Oh yeah.
We also have a fun little, what is it now?
Never a Minute is the official name.
Never a Minute segment. This is something that we used to do before. We're doing in like sort of an audio way, but maybe there's a video component to this as
well. This is going to be a two-parter.
Two-parter.
Yeah.
Yes. eShop swap.
Yes. We're back.
We're back with swapping in the eShop.
Yeah.
And then some news.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So good show.
Yeah. But up front, we have some news too about a new little venture we're kicking off here.
Yes.
It's called the Kit and Krista Show.
Teasing it a little bit, but yes, we are expanding a little bit to not just having an episode of the podcast up every week, but also doing more traditional videos.
Right.
Like I know you guys love, and we love to do them. We've been really excited and kind of like antsy to get going on this, but we just needed to like get our technical stuff
set up. We ran into some real silly technical roadblocks with a certain device that maybe in another language is called the cat. But I think we got it fixed, so we're going to get up and running here. So, but if you're listening to this now, there's a video out where we're ranking our top three controllers.
Yes, best controllers of all time.
Look for the bottom three coming soon, too.
Us. Yes.
And then today, after we finish this, we're recording a Kirby gameplay video.
That's why he's
video.
Here, to hang out.
This is the Kirby episode, yeah.
He's gonna be our little mentor.
Mascot. Yeah.
And mascot, yes. So yeah, we're really excited to be, you know, expanding to video, where we hope to have sort of both up for you guys on a weekly basis, and it's going to be fun. Yeah.
There's going to be a lot happening on these channels.
Yes, yeah. So definitely don't forget to do all the subscribing and the thumbs upping and the liking and the sharing and the other things.
Yeah.
And of course, for our beautiful Patreon family, which we added a lot more family members last week. So thank you so much to everyone who joined us on Patreon. You'll continue to get early access to both the podcast and the videos. So yeah, so it's gonna be good. It's gonna be fun.
And we've been thinking a lot about how to expand ourselves on Patreon. So there might be some news coming soonish on that.
Yes, very soon. And we've been listening to all you guys tell us what you want for us to do on Patreon. So we're definitely
Just
tell us and we'll do it.
Pretty much.
There's really no science.
We're very agreeable.
We're very agreeable people. Okay. So that should be fun. We're really excited to just like keep growing. You know, this is definitely just the beginning, and it's going to be great.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
Oh.
Cool.
All right.
That's the stuff in the upfront. Should we get
into
our little story time segment today?
Smashing in to the video game industry.
Pow!
We have two very different paths, which I think is interesting.
We really did. Yeah. Do you want to go first?
No, I think you should go first.
Okay.
Yeah.
So my foray into video games was something that I definitely always dreamed about, but just never thought that it would happen for me. When I was just getting out of college, I had big plans to go to law school, to have a respectable career as a lawyer, which is something my mother really wanted for me.
But the history major.
I was a history major because the reason why I was a history major is because if you want to go to law school, it's important for you to have like good research and writing skills. So there was a method to my madness there, okay? Yeah, if you're an Asian, you know you have three career choices. Let me just name them for you. And all Asian people can definitely...
I'll be keeping my mouth shut here.
...can definitely relate. You have three options. It is doctor, lawyer, engineer. Those are it. That's it. I would say my mom is actually pretty open. She did not tiger mom me too much. And when I broke the sad news to her that like, so I'm not going to go to law school, and instead I'm going to go work in video games. She didn't, like, freak out too much.
Okay.
But, yeah, I got out of college. I got a job at a law firm. I was doing this at this job and I absolutely hated it. It was awful. And I just like had this moment where I was like, I don't want to do this for the rest of my life. I also don't want to go to school and spend more money on school doing something that I don't want it, that doesn't make me happy at all. So I had like basically like a existential crisis where I was like, oh my God, what am I going to do now? I have no other plans.
I have seen a lot of people who use grad school as kind of like, I don't know what I'm doing, so mm-hmm. I'm going to use this to like burn some time. It.
But the burning of the time is burning the money.
And a lot of money too.
I could not afford to do that.
But it's like, while I figure out what I want to do, I'm going to do this thing and I'll come out on the other side with this, you know, degree or these qualifications.
Some sort of
and
idea.
Hopefully by then I'll know what I want to do. But it's a big commitment.
It's a really big commitment for your time, for your money, you know, like that's tough,
right.
tough to do. So I think for me, I made the right decision by basically like, hitting the brakes like right before I would have done that. And at that time, obviously I was a huge video game fan already. I was following, you know, all of the big video game news sites, and I loved Nintendo. I have been playing Nintendo since I was a kid, and so it's just, you know, a place that I was really, you know, it would be amazing to get a job there at the time. Mm-hmm. And stumbled upon this random Kotaku article one day that was like, rumor, Nintendo might be moving their sales and marketing office to California. And I remember
reading that scuttlebutt at a young age.
That's right. I'm like reading the rumor mill. Yeah. I'm like adding to the
rumor. Raking that muck up. What do we got today?
The muck-raking rumor mill. Hey, paid off for me. So I was like, oh my gosh, how cool would it be to, if they're moving to California, like to the Bay, it said the Bay Area, actually, I remember. And I was like, wow, that would be so cool to work there. I wonder if there are job openings.
Yeah. Have you ever called it the Yay Area? Please say no, thank you. All right.
If you're from the Bay
Area. This is a clarification for the people out there, but let's keep going, please.
Don't call it the Yay Area.
Or don't call it Frisco. Please don't call it that. Anyhow, please continue.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. That's terrible. Don't do that. So I randomly was searching like the website, like the jobs listing site. And found that there were job openings for their... Like, they were calling it, like, the Redwood City office or whatever. So I ended up applying to literally every single job that I thought I'd be remotely qualified for. This is, like, again, 14
years ago. Is that a good move? Just mass apply for everything?
I think in this instance, it was because they were massively hiring.
And they had so many roles to
fill. They had so many open positions. Yeah. And also... what I learned when I went through the interview process was they didn't really know how to place everybody, especially in the entry-level positions. Mm. So I basically applied for an administrative assistant. So it was like the lowest
tier. But it was that role in different departments?
Exactly.
Okay.
And I ended up, I think it was smart that I don't think this works every time, so don't like do this every single time. I'm just telling you what I did at a young age where I had no idea what to do. But I was asked to come interview for multiple departments because, again, they were trying to fill these departments as fast as possible. And there was, I remember being in the interview process, and it was like in this huge, like, hotel ballroom. Mm. It was like blitz. It was like speed dating, but interviews.
Not a traditional interview
process. Not a traditional interview process at all. Yeah. So I remember sitting there with all of the other people that applied for an admin role. And so how many departments did we have in the sales and marketing? Probably like five or six departments at the time. So they interviewed all of the admins for all five departments, which was kind of interesting. And so like you look around and be like, what department are you interviewing for? Like you like don't know how they would place you depending on who you were interviewing with. I also had like some really bad personal issues going on at the time. I like had gotten my wisdom teeth out.
Like, I don't know if that's a personal issue.
Well, like, I had like personal problems during the interview process. It was really bad, okay? And this is kind of gross, so like don't listen if you're grossed out by like teeth things. But I had like really like severe like dental surgery on these wisdom teeth.
Yeah, that's what it is.
And then like I was on like all sorts of like pain.
Personal problems.
Personal issues. And but like I was like
you were on painkillers.
I was on like Vicodin painkillers
in the interview.
Yeah. And I was like,
oh,
I was feeling so gross. I don't even know how I got this job, honestly.
Wow.
It was horrible. It was like a really...
It was a different you.
It was a really bad... It was just like a really bad time. Like, it was stressful to do all the interviews. I was not feeling well at all. Somehow I managed to get through all of them. And I ended up getting an offer from two departments at Nintendo. One was the sales team. And one was the team that you and I both ended up on, the communications team.
Right.
At the time, it was called something else. It was called like...
Corporate affairs.
Corporate affairs.
Which is
a
very
Which is very vague. And I legit remember doing this. I remember like thinking to myself, well, like, I know what sales is.
Sure.
I think.
Yeah.
But I don't think I'd like it. Like, I don't think I'd be good at it.
Yeah.
Even though I never tried. I don't actually know what corporate affairs is.
Sure.
So I like did like a Google search. Like, what is corporate affairs? I mean, I remember meeting all the people that I'd be working with and stuff like that. And I liked all of them, obviously.
Yeah.
So that part was important and was great. But I honestly do not know what this department did at all. I didn't know that it was like communications based. Yeah. I didn't know that, I don't even know what PR was. I don't think
I'd never heard of corporate affairs before I joined Nintendo. Okay. I think even some companies use that to denote like legal or
stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of different.
Our department changed our name pretty soon afterwards because it was a bit confusing.
Yeah.
To a different name that was more descriptive the work that our team did. But yeah, I literally did not know what I was getting into at all. I was just like, this sounds better than sales.
Yeah.
You know, that was the only like check mark that I had. And it was really weird too, because I was joining when they were building that California office, which is very like perfect that I left when they closed down. I literally did the whole cycle.
Yeah.
Like the full cycle of the Redwood City office. I was there when it was being built, and I was there when it was being like dismantled, basically. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of interesting, but I would go into the office, and there would be nobody there. It would be like empty. The cubicles were still being built.
Yeah.
You know, I had no idea what I was doing. I was very far away from the corporate office.
Yeah.
The people that I had interviewed with actually were not even staying at Nintendo, so they were like. They were like me and you, like leaving the company and interviewing your replacements and interviewing a team that you probably wouldn't ever work with.
Yeah.
So it was like a very weird dynamic because people are kind of like checked out a little bit.
That senioritis.
Yeah. Going. I mean, why would you? Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, I started in it was very rocky in the beginning. There was nobody there. It was like really lonely. And I had no idea like what I was doing at all. It was like smack in the wee days as well. So there was a lot to do.
Busy,
But I just didn't know what I was doing at all. And there was like nobody there to help you. So you just like, I would like go onto the intra site, like the employee website. And I just like type in people's names. Look them up. What department are they in? Who are they?
Yeah.
Who are the people under them? Like, maybe I can call that person. They can tell me what to do.
Okay.
So it was like, that was like the daily like investigation. But I would say that, you know, if you want to get into the video game industry, like, you don't need to be like specifically skilled in one certain area.
Right.
I was not. You know, I think people in these companies can tell that you have a passion for the brand, that you're willing to learn, that you're willing to work. And if you have like even those skill sets, you can look for these entry level type positions. And then it's up to you to grow your career. I was able to do that in a really amazing way at Nintendo. But you don't need like anything special,
right?
I guess is my point.
Anyone
can do it if you want
to. It's just regular people.
Exactly. It's regular people. And the work is really difficult. So don't think that you're going to be playing. I hate it when people say like, oh, do you just play games all day? And I want to like slap them because I'm like, you have no idea. The work is very difficult. Working for your dream company can be a double-edged sword because you end up making a lot of excuses for them when things are not going great. Which can be very difficult, like emotionally, but if you want to do it, you know, it's really just about like your willingness to jump in and just like try and learn.
Yeah.
And that's really what it is. The learning curve is very high, so you have to like survive the learning curve, but I think anybody can get it, really.
I think one other good tip is like know what each, you know, company or branch of that company is set up to do. So right. like Nintendo of America, not really developing games.
Right.
Most of that's happening in Japan or at some other kind of, you know, related development studio. This is like a sales and marketing office.
Right.
So if you're you know, focused on one of those things, that's a company for you. But obviously, you know, there's companies that do development. So if you're focused on development, then look at those. So just do a bit of research ahead of what's this place even doing?
Yeah. And then like think to yourself, if you don't know what area of a company you want to focus on or like do, like think about like how your skills are transferable, right?
Yeah.
Because like for me, you know, you can go the more generalist route, you know, and try out different departments. You know, a lot of people at Nintendo started in one department and went to a different department. So like you can like, even if, after you get in or as you're looking to get in, you can do that kind of research and just kind of hone in on maybe like two or three areas of what that company does that's interesting to you, that you think you'll be good at, that you think you have an interest in, and even like have some pathways there as well. You don't have to be like locked in to like, I can only do this one thing.
Right.
Like that's it, you know?
Right.
So I think that's another like good tip if you're just starting out and wanting to like investigate, you know, this path.
I think you sort of exemplify one of these Reggie-isms that he would always tell us about, which is be open to alternative outcomes.
Yes.
Which is like how it's so easy in life to set your heart on one thing and make that your goal and be like, I am single-mindedly going after this.
Yeah.
And I am not even considering any other options.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, his point is like, no, you should really have your mind open to those and you should seriously consider those because those could end up being better than what you had your heart set on in the first place.
Yeah, exactly. And think deeply about that, about like what, why you are so focused on a particular thing.
Yeah.
Is it like an outside factor that is causing you to be so tunnel vision, or is it truly something that you want to do?
Yeah.
You know, I think if it's truly like, this is my singular passion, I know this is what I want to do, like, sure, I think have the drive to like really focus and go for it.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's like something outside of that that's making you, you know, only look at one option, like that's where I think that comes in, you know, and that really worked out for me. And even when I got in at Nintendo and started working at my very like entry-level assistant job, like I opened my eyes to like all of the different possibilities that were available. You know, I volunteered to do stuff. I met different people. That searching of the Nintendo employee charts is very helpful because you like meet people and you like get to know them. You build relationships. That's how you have success in your career, you know, is building these relationships with like people outside of who you work with daily. And like that was a big part of that too. So I think if you're able to do that, like you can really like grow at a company in a really fun way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do a lot of jokes and gags on this show. I think your story and your rise at Nintendo is frankly very inspiring.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, you started, you know, absolute, you know, entry level assistants, and like I don't know anybody else who had that same path of like, you know,
really?
Moving up as far as you did. And you know, I think there's a lot of people who, you know, being an assistant's kind of a different skill set from a lot of the other jobs that you move up from. So I think it's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, it took 14 years to go from point A to, you know, where I was before I left the company. But along the way, you know, I always felt like I was like learning new stuff. I was given really unique opportunities. Mm-hmm. Like, I think if that wasn't happening, I probably wouldn't have stayed for such a long time.
Right.
But it can happen. And again, you don't have to be like you don't have to have any special skill sets. I did not have any skill sets. You know, I did not have a degree that really helped me with PR or with communications. I did not have any, like, anything that is something that not anybody else would have, I think.
Yeah.
You know,
except
for the, just like the drive to like learn and grab opportunities when they came. And so, yeah, I think anybody can do it.
All right.
Let's talk about you.
Shall I go?
Yeah,
all
you
right.
have a more well-rounded career.
So we had a very different paths, but we ended up at the same place, so it didn't matter. So after college, so in college, I studied, I had a lot of things. I was a double major in marketing and international management and a minor in psychology. So it's like, all right, well, I can do something with that maybe.
That's a lot of major, like a lot of areas of...
Yeah, somehow it wasn't hard to do all that though. It somehow just fit in.
Smart.
Anyhow, so I really wanted to get into games, which is, so I went to school on the East Coast and I came back, was like, all right, this is the place to be, the Bay Area, yeah. Because there were so many gaming, more so than there are now even. There mm-hmm. were so many gaming companies concentrated there, you name it. So I was like, I'm just gonna, you know, live at mom and dad's house for a while and just apply to all these jobs at all these gaming companies. Yeah. You know, kind of like you, but really just really spreading it around
okay.
everywhere. And I was like, I don't really care, you know, which one it is. I just want to get in.
And get some experience.
And then I felt like, you know, it would take care of itself from there once I was able to prove myself. So, you know, obviously applied to all the big ones, like EA, Capcom, all these big ones. Didn't really get any traction mm-hmm. with those. But I got a call back from a very small PR agency one yeah. day. Now their name is called Triple Point Communications. Mm-hmm. Previously, they had a different name. You can look them up, Triple Point. And I remember I was doing the interview from my bedroom, and my mom totally busted in midway. It's such a mom move. Kidders, how's it going? I was like, kiddo.
Mom, I'm busy. Yeah,
mom, I'm interviewing for a job. Go away.
Go on, Mom.
Gosh.
At least she wasn't,
bring me some juice, please.
It wasn't a video conference back then. So
no,
it was just a
phone call.
So at least you didn't see Mom like yeah, bursting through the door.
Yeah.
Nowadays, it's like Mom is right. all over in the background of your video conference.
So I ended up getting that job. Again, it's a very small company. I think there were like maybe seven. So I was like the eighth employee. Mm-hmm. I was the first male employee. It was all women at the time.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Interesting.
Which was cool. And I was the office assistant.
Yes.
Which is like, you're everybody's lackey. You're yeah. working the front desk. You're picking up the phones. You're paying mm-hmm. the bills.
You're like passing the mail out. Yeah. All that stuff. And
No. I was making $28,000 a year okay. in that job,
wow.
which is nothing.
That was my salary when I started
right.
Nintendo.
But it was, you know, it was, that kind of work I was not good at. It was like, I aspire to do more than this, but I need to show that I can handle
that. That's right.
This absolute
That's
basic
the
stuff.
Assistant level stuff.
Right.
You
which
have
I was,
to do it.
I was frankly really bad at that.
really?
But I think I eventually was able to show like, no, well, you know, he's got some skills that we could apply to yeah. these clients that we have. Mm-hmm. So I kind of very quickly moved into some roles that I was not qualified to have at all. I think that was kind of a blessing and a curse of a small company like yeah. that, where, you know, I was going on these pitches to get new business.
Oh, man.
Which was like...
That's like high pressure stuff for a kid
really,
out of college.
Like you have to nail like these presentations and yeah. be sharp and answer questions. But I was also like leading these big accounts. Like, so we had like the Namco account, mm-hmm. which is how I started my relationship with them, which I eventually went to go work with them. I was leading that when I was like 22 or 3, which absolutely should not have been doing.
Like, who's this kid?
I shouldn't have been doing
I'm just
that.
Kidding, no.
No, that was crazy. Like,
but that was really smart that you were able to get into a small agency like that because you're able to have these kinds of opportunities. I think if you were at a bigger place
yeah,
that was
yeah.
more established, like you probably would have been the office assistant for much longer, right?
It's the same thing with you, where like I didn't really know what PR was necessarily.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I guess you do something with the
media.
I don't know.
There's a lot of writing involved.
Yeah, it's like, well, this is in game marketing, so I'll give it a shot. I think I had imagined like, oh, I'll go into advertising or something like that.
Oh,
I mean, it's just like traditional. It's like,
when you think about marketing, what do you think it is when you're 22, right? That's...
Right.
You don't know.
So I remember on my first day, somebody took me around. Again, all the game magazines were concentrated in San Francisco, and we just went boom, boom, boom. We hit them all up.
Oh, that's so cool.
And one day was like, GamePro, EGM, computer gaming, where you name them.
Yeah.
IGN, GameSpot.
Just go down Second Street.
Yeah, basically. We just yeah. went to all of them, and it was like, oh, you know, meet Kit. He's the new guy around. It's like, oh, it was such a perfect like crash course into
yeah.
making these relationships with people that we still know
yeah.
And work with.
I never had that experience until you came to Nintendo.
Oh.
You were like my link to games media.
Yeah.
Because no one wanted to talk to me.
Yeah.
Like, are you kidding me? Like,
so I do think that path, I don't take it the wrong way. I think it's better.
I think so too.
To get that experience in kind of like really getting your hands dirty.
I think so too.
It's a place like Nintendo. It's like it's a bigger company. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do as many things.
Yeah, and that's why it was really great when you came to Nintendo like soon after I started, because I was still early enough in my career where I really wanted to learn those kind of basic things and build those personal relationships. Nintendo also works with an agency.
Right.
So,
right.
And a lot of companies.
Like so many other.
Yeah, that's companies. Like another thing that maybe people don't know. Like Nintendo outsources a lot of their, you know, PR and that's like a very common thing
very
in the
standard.
Industry, very standard. But you do lose like a skill set. A little bit.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, you could come to rely on the agency a lot.
So, you know, over time I was doing this and I kind of came to really dislike the like new business nature of it.
Yeah. That's more like salesy.
It was such a slog. It was like you're always looking ahead of like, how can we add more? Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh, if we add more, then I need to be doing this in this 8-person company. I'm kind of like at my limit already.
Yeah.
So that kind of push and pull I didn't love. But again, there were so many like cool opportunities there, like we just randomly happened to work with Irrational Games, who is the developer that went on to make the BioShock games.
Right.
And I remember one day in this tiny office, it was just like, oh, Ken Levine just walks in and he's just shooting the breeze while he's waiting for a flight. And I was like, oh my gosh, he was kind of like a nobody then, but it's like looking back, like, wow, we just had
everyone rose.
People just passing
everyone
through.
Everyone leveled up.
Yeah, people passing. I mean, when you work in PR, you do end up getting to know a lot of people. And you make a lot of contacts because that's kind of the nature of the job. So anyway, I really decided like, all right, I've tried the agency life. Maybe not for me. I really want to go in-house and work directly at one of these companies. Mm-hmm. And again, I'd been working with Namco at the time. And one day they took me aside and said, hey, we'd actually like to hire you for this open position.
That also happens a lot.
And I was like, oh, well, that's perfect. Because that's exactly what I want to do. I really love working with Namco. I love the people. I love the games. I was so excited about this. And I had a conversation with the folks back at the agency the other day, and they're like, you actually can't do that. That's
that document where it's like, you can't be poached.
And maybe, I don't know, maybe they had some stern words for Namco after that because it didn't come up again. I was crushed. I was so crushed because I was like, oh, this is just the kind of thing that I've been wanting.
Yeah. Ended up there anyway.
Eventually. But I ended up moving on to Konami after that.
Right. Which was not their client.
No, it was not their client. But I had, you know, again, made a relationship with the person who started to work over there.
Yeah.
So that's how that happened. So maybe we'll stop my story there. We can tell more of my story
There's
and my
more.
Path later.
Yeah.
But just as far as breaking in, that's how I did it.
Yeah. And I think that the way that you did it is really great for setting a better foundation than the way I did it. I think for me, it was more so like, you know, once I got into Nintendo, it was like I had to work backwards almost to understand like who are the people working like outside of Nintendo that I need to know, like editors and eventually the creator side too. Like that was all like traditionally taken care of by the agency. And so you're like one step removed almost, which I don't like. And you and I both talked about this before. Like we really wanted to like be not one step removed.
Yeah.
We wanted to have a direct relationship with these people. We wanted to like get for them to get to know us. You know, it was really important to us. So I think when you come from the agency side, you do get that like right away, which is really like really important. So that is an interesting way in. I've seen a lot of people break in that way as well through the agency. But yes, you have to be careful of the no poaching clause. There's people that have done that thing where they go to an agency, build the relationships, hone their skill set, go somewhere else in like an in-between job, knowing that they'll go to their final like in-house job.
But then there are people who love working at the agency. Like so many of the people that we worked with, you know, have been there for forever and a long time and are great.
Yeah.
And that's just what they are meant to do. So, I'm certainly not disparaging that. Just for me, it wasn't quite what I was looking for.
Yeah. I think if you wanted to get in-house, the agency is a good stepping stone. But if you wanted to stay in the agency and just work on like a whole bunch of different accounts and have access to lots of different video game brands, like that's another cool way too.
Yeah, and the person who hired me at Triple Point, she's still there.
Yeah.
She's some big wig there, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. Mm-hmm. It works all different ways.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how it happened, you know, and then And then more things happened that we'll talk about. A lot more things happened that we'll talk about later. But yeah. It's, I think that the main takeaway of the story is that anybody can do it.
Yeah, don't be intimidated.
Don't be intimidated. Right. Seriously, don't be intimidated. It's just, like you said, it's just normal people. It's just a normal job. You know, the processes are the mm-hmm, same. You mm-hmm. still do the same thing as you would do for any other job, resume, interview, all that stuff. There's multiple pathways in. You know, there's so many different options for whatever you want to do at a video game company and how you want to get into it. Mm-hmm. So if anyone is thinking about it or like wanting to get in but have hesitated because they were, you know, nervous about something, like, this is your sign from the universe to like go for it.
You can do it.
Apply for our jobs.
Yeah. They're out there.
They're out there, right? That'd be hilarious. Okay. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Did it. We made it. Now we're in. Like you said, once you get in, though,
now we're
can't
here.
Leave. Help! I'm just kidding. No, it's great to be here. The industry is very small, too. Yeah. So don't be a mean person, because no one will like you and no one will want to work with you. So be nice, and you'll be fine. You'll do good.
The karma. It's real.
Yeah. But this is a very tight-knit community, I would say, the video game industry. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, if you do something embarrassing or bad, people will remember it forever.
Tisk.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Should we move on to our Never a Minute segment?
Let's.
So, we're doing a little
swap.
eShop swapping.
Yeah.
We've done a couple of these.
These were fun videos.
These were really fun videos. But the best part about these videos is our thumbnails, where we would like switch bodies. There was one person at Nintendo that I will not name.
Yeah.
But this person had a very viscerally negative reaction.
Violently negative.
To the body swapping, where this person would just, like, almost
recoil.
Like gag.
Yeah.
Yeah, have a gag reflex when they saw the thumbnail of Kit's head on my body. And I think it's more so your head
my
on my
goodness.
Body. Just completely horrified, vile. Grossed out. Can't blame them because it's pretty gross.
It's funny though.
Maybe we'll make one just for funsies to post on our social channels.
But the idea like here is, I don't know about you, one of my favorite things to do is like really get deep into the eShop and like find these hidden gems.
There's so many.
Or just get on the internet and like research, like, what are some cool games that I haven't heard of that are really good?
Yeah. The library is so deep too. Like you'll never be able to find, like, play through all of it. And there's so many good games that kind of gets buried from with all the big, like, AAA titles or whatever.
Right.
So,
So the idea is we are each going to pick for each other a game that we ourselves have not played.
This is a little bit different than we normally do it, because usually it's a game that we both play.
Yeah.
But this one is, like, a little bit more blind even.
Yeah. So we're going to pick a game we think the other person will like.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to check in next week after we played it and see how we did.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Do you want to go first?
Well, I've got two games. You have two games too, right?
I have a backup game just in case.
Just in case, out of the thousands of games on the eShop, we somehow chose the same one.
Oh my gosh. This has happened.
Well, we're wearing the same thing today. Look at this.
We're wearing the same outfit.
I open this door and like, ding dong. Oh, jeez.
You're like, turn back around to go home and change. Why are we wearing the same clothes?
This
is weird.
I don't want to have to coordinate outfits, but maybe we do. I don't know.
I don't want to.
All right.
It's a little too far.
All right. Why don't you go first?
Okay. Have you played a game called Wargroove?
I have.
Okay. Great.
Part two.
So, have you played a game called One Gun Guy?
One Gun Guy. No, I don't think I have.
I chose this game for two reasons.
Okay.
It reminded me of Guy Dude Bro.
Oh, yeah. That's me.
I feel like this game, maybe this character embodies your inner spirit.
One Gun Guy?
One Gun Guy.
Okay.
It's pretty new. It just came out, like, maybe like a week ago.
Okay.
Oh, by the way, this is all, like, obviously from the Nintendo Switch eShop.
Right.
The developer is called Ritual Games, which I have not heard of them
Sounds
before.
Sounds familiar. Okay.
I don't know if there's other games that they've made that
Tell
we've
me about
played.
This.
But it is a, like, an action platformer.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all one long level.
Oh.
So there's no...
The whole game?
The whole game is just like one long, like, no frills action platformer level, and you go through, there's, I think the point is to collect these trophies, and so there's these areas where you do get like a little pause to get an achievement, but it's very like no frills. It's very much like just this.
But you have not played this.
No.
How did you find this?
I was just digging through the old eShop there.
So you were just going.
I was just going through things, and then I know that you like platformers quite a bit more than me.
Yeah.
And you're quite good at them, actually. So, and I heard this game is actually pretty challenging. So I wanted to see how good you do. Like, how far can you get?
All right.
The weird thing is that that game, this game has been on Steam, but like I could not usually like. I'll look for reviews or something like that just to make sure like it's not completely, you know, like 2 out of 10 or something like that.
Yeah.
But like I could not find any reviews on this game.
Oh.
So I don't know if it's like...
Well, we're going to find out.
Exactly. That's why I think it's kind of interesting. Like you could be the first little...
Be like, that guinea pig.
You'd be the guinea pig.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But it looks really fun. It looks like it's very like very quick to get into.
Yeah.
Kind of has like that retro... art style.
All right. Well, I'm gonna pick that up today after we're done here.
And it's not expensive. It's like I think it's like $4.99.
Well, I'm not worried about that.
Just saying.
All right.
It's affordable.
What a deal.
What a
one gun guy.
What a deal.
If you want two guns, that's gonna cost more.
Two gun guys.
Two gun guys. It's a sequel.
It writes itself. Yeah.
If the multiplayer
Ritual
sequel.
Games. Would you like to make a sequel called Two Gun Guys and have it be a co-op platformer game? Aha.
Guy/gal.
Oh, guys/gal. Okay.
Yeah.
Girls?
It's figuratively. Guys can be anybody.
Yeah, because I say, hey, guys, but it means everything.
You sure do.
I can't break that habit.
Hey, guys.
It's like Toad saying, hi.
I really troll you about that a lot.
I know.
And you don't seem to care.
It's my signature now, so it's a signature.
It's your signature.
It's what it is.
All right, fine. All right. Great pick.
Great. Well, we'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see.
What if I played that too? You'd have been in trouble.
That would have been crazy.
Wargroove is a pretty big game.
Wargroove is a pretty great game, but I knew you would like that game.
Right.
Because that developer, Chucklefish, has developed so many great games.
All right.
Anyways.
So I have two. I'm more confident that you have never heard of these. And I'll tell you the other one if the first one ends up being the one you go for.
Okay.
Now, there was a game that I almost went for, but I thought was a little too big, a little too mainstream.
Okay.
Which is Ollie Ollie World, which is this sort of like skateboarding.
Yes,
there have been
a
number of those games. I've always been curious about those. I never played any of them, though. I thought, maybe Krista can check it out. And I said, no!
You have to be deep
I
in
need
the
to get
eShop.
Deeper. Yes.
Deep. Drill down in that eShop.
So, the game I found, and I found this, there was a great article on Nintendo Life, which is a wonderful
that's
website.
That's a wonderful
And
website.
Even some of these, like the little descriptions, they're like, well, we haven't played this, but...
I'm so glad that other people are out there like us.
But I did quite a bit of research. These look cool. So the game for you is called A Monster's Expedition. Have you played this?
No, I have not.
Now, I know that you like the relaxing games, the cozy games.
I like the cozy games.
The cozy vibes.
Mm-hmm.
This seems to maybe fit that bill.
Oh.
So you play as the titular monster, A Monster's Expedition. You're the monster.
Okay.
But you're kind of in this, like, it's a top-down game. There's these, like, series of islands. There's, like, this big game world.
Okay.
And you're trying to get... I guess there's some ultimate destination and it's sort of a puzzle. It's like, how do I get across all these islands? And there's maybe you'll be in a boat, or one looked like there was like a roller coaster thing that you go on. But it seems to be very like
chill.
Low stress, very relaxed. This monster looks cute. It's not a scary monster. It's not some Elden Ring monster.
Oh, good. Cute monsters
looks,
are my
looks
favorite monsters.
Cute. And I think this is another one that was on Steam a little bit before Switch.
Okay.
But I'd never heard of it.
I like when they bring all the Steam games to Switch.
There's no reason not to.
Yeah, it's pretty much... Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, the other game, which you won't be playing. Maybe you will.
Maybe I'll check out both.
Is called The Kids We Were. Have you heard of this?
No.
This is...
The Kittens?
The Kids. K-I-D-S.
It would have been better if it was The Kittens We Were.
The Kids We Were. So this is kind of one of these, like, again, you know my fascination with, like, old-timey Japan?
Yes.
It's like this, like, nostalgia, like, story-based game where these kids, and I couldn't quite tell the era, but some past era of Japan, like, could be 70s, maybe early 80s, I don't know.
Okay, but not, like, ancient Japan.
Not old Japan, but, you know, I think 60s, 70s, or 80s, one of those.
Those are the good eras.
One of those eras, yes.
Okay.
And it's just kind of like, you know, you're this group of kids and you're just kind of going around the neighborhood and doing stuff. And, you know,
it's cute. Slice of life.
They make it sound like it's like, oh, you really feel the nostalgia of this time, which is okay. I like that.
Okay.
Yeah. There was a game. Cute. There was a game on 3DS. I think maybe you played this one. Attack of the
Friday Night Monsters.
It? Yeah. That kind of had that same vibe.
I like that game
where you were
lot.
In like a small town mm-hmm. and you're just some kid.
You're just hanging out with your friends and things yeah. happen.
Right. Yeah. Right.
But it's like kind of like that Japanese Ghibli slice of life type of.
Yeah. So this game also had a very interesting look. It kind of looked like The Tourist, which was a game that we liked a lot.
I like that game. Yeah.
So maybe if you want to get some extra credit, if you want to really get the A+ grade for yourself.
For next week?
You can play both.
2 gold stars?
I can't play both because I'd already played the one. I can't do it. I'm already at the A+.
You can develop the 2-guy guns. 2-gun guns.
Develop? Oh, no. I can't do that.
So, all right. Well, if any of you have played any of these games or want to play these games this week with us, that would be fun.
Oh, yeah.
Like, maybe you guys can play too.
We'll play along.
And then next week we can all come back together and talk about it.
Good, good.
How cute. Okay, great. Well, these are great choices.
Truly.
Yeah. I'm so glad that we're able to do eShop
Swap. I guess we'll see, but...
Yeah. You like get like 10 minutes in.
There was one that you picked for me that I was a little...
Putty Pals?
No, I like that. You think I hate Putty Pals. I liked Putty Pals.
Oh, good. Okay, because I really liked
that. That was one of the joke names for this whole project. That
Putty Pals.
We were going to be the Putty Pals.
Because I thought that you hated Putty Pals.
I didn't hate Putty Pals. This is some weird mental thing you've got going on.
What did you think that I was going to pick? For? All right, what?
I don't know.
Oh, wait, like what were you going to say?
There was one game that you picked for one of these where I was a teeny bit iffy on. I can't remember what it was even. Anyhow, moving on to what we're playing. Okay.
Yes, good segue into what we are playing.
I put some last minute edits into the list.
You did?
I did.
Well, I like how this list is, there's clearly one game that's not like the other games, which is Kirby. It's like all these, like, actually, I don't know what this last game you have on here is, but. Well, let's talk about Kirby. Really briefly.
Yeah.
Because we're going to be doing a whole gameplay video playing the demo in co-op mode. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah. So this demo came out.
Yes.
Out of nowhere.
What a wonderful
surprise.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
Like, I did not expect that, but I was very pleasantly surprised. And it was actually a pretty robust demo. Like, you get like a pretty decent amount of game time and you get a feel of the game.
Right.
What'd you think? You were like super pumped for this game.
I thought it was amazing.
I thought it was pretty cool too.
You know, so I just feel like Kirby games are very like... You know, they're not like swinging for the fences with Kirby games. They're very fun to play, but they tend to be pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, we're going to have this 2D platformer. Mm-hmm. It's going to be very well done. It's going to be very charming. It's going to be fun to play, but we're not really going to completely like upend what this is or
revamp the whole thing.
Any of that. And I was like, wow. And as I was playing this demo, I was like, wow, Kirby is like really making a big leap into like this top tier of Nintendo franchises.
Yeah.
As you know, I think we felt before like maybe Kirby was like just a little bit below like, you know, the Marios and Zeldas of the world. But like this kind of game feels like
it's elevated it.
It's going for that top tier.
I had like real Odyssey vibes when I was playing this game. Like some of those worlds in Odyssey, the way the camera like pans, the way like they do like quote unquote open world or whatever, totally felt like that with this demo.
Now I saw one comparison that was maybe it was more Super 3D world versus Mario Odyssey, which is completely open.
Right.
That was one of my big questions, is like, how open is this?
Is it open? It's not completely open.
The areas are big, but you tend to be kind of guided in a direction.
Right. At least
so far.
In the demo.
Right.
We don't know what
I'm assuming this is like the start of the game or...
Exactly. Yeah. Seems like you were getting more of... And I know there's going to be sort of like a hub... overworld kind of thing as well that I'm pretty curious about with these little Waddle Dees and there's a whole system of turning in stuff for things and maybe that makes it feel a little bit more robust. But I thought it was like super interesting. Like even some of the gameplay mechanics were really cool with this mouthful mode, which at first seemed kind of gimmicky, you know, he's a car, but like what now kind of thing. But you're doing a lot of stuff gameplay-wise with that mechanic. Yeah. I like the one you're the traffic cone.
I like the traffic cone.
That was cool. Yeah. That was like very interesting way of like using the tip of the traffic cone to like break through.
Right.
You know, different things and solve puzzles and stuff like that. So I thought that was really clever. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm excited to see like what other like sort of things are kind of like that in the game, because we only saw like a few of those.
And then if you finish the demo once through, you unlock this like new level of the copy abilities, which I stopped. We're going to play that together.
We're going to
I have not tried that
yet. I didn't try that either. No. That's where I also
But that's
stopped.
A cool new evolution. The other thing I'll say is like, this game looks amazing.
It does.
The graphics are really
good.
The
graphics are so bright and so like, feels like alive, like the world feels alive.
Yeah,
you know?
Like they're doing that kind of like focus thing where like depending on where you are, things are like
portrait
just out of
mode
focus.
In the iPhone.
And it's also like, again, Kirby's in this ruined world. I'm sure we'll find out like what the forgotten world is.
Yeah.
But even though things are like run down, it still looks like so cute and like aesthetically pleasing.
Right.
I was like, I could see this being like just a nice neighborhood in Japan where things are just a little bit older and there's
like
this guy's got
a little bit messy. They need to like have the neighborhood cleanup crew and
there's
some
grass growing
up
on the roof, but it's still nice.
Yeah.
It still felt very appropriately Kirby.
Yes, exactly. And of course, like the little enemy, I was saying that the little enemies in there are like so cute.
Yeah.
Like those little fox doggy whatever things. I feel bad. Like slashing them with my sword, and
because
they're so the fur is like so soft looking,
right?
That like that turtle was cute. Like, I always feel bad for these enemies. I'm like, oh, they're too cute to like defeat. You know?
But again, I was thinking back to like, well, what are some other franchises that kind of tried to take that leap into something
and did it work or not?
And I really had a hard time thinking of a lot of examples.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, maybe if anybody listening has thought of one, you know, let us know. But it's like, this doesn't happen a lot, which is what makes it so exciting.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we've had so many years of Kirby games that were pretty, like, again, fun to play. We always played them.
Yeah.
But there are also, like, you know what to expect. This is the first time I think, you know, I don't know what to expect. And I love it. I think it's great. And I can't wait to... The game's coming out pretty soon, so...
Super soon.
So we'll get to see exactly what it is that we're going to be diving into.
Yeah.
Now, did you play in wild mode?
Of course.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
It wasn't that wild.
I was glad, though.
Yeah.
That, you're not playing this game
Nobody's playing Kirby for the white knuckles.
Yeah, we're not like Elden Ring Kirby. someone said, we need, what is it? They said, Kirby Ring and the Forgotten, or something.
Yeah.
Elden Kirby and the Forgotten Ring or something like that. I was like, yeah, that's not what we want. But yeah, it's like perfect for our detox after after Elden Ring, like relax and like hang out with Kirby and he's like cute and stuff. So yes. Yeah. Okay. Well, we're gonna bring you playing this soon. I'm so excited.
Elden Ring though. That's what we're really...
Oh my God, Elden Ring.
Get suffering through, maybe, in some cases.
I'm
in your case, you're suffering.
I'm really suffering right now. Although I...
So we've made a lot of progress in the past week.
Shockingly.
I think we both deserve a pat on the back for this.
Yay! Yeah. Do we deserve A pluses for...
I don't know about that.
We're not Gene Park, so we don't deserve A pluses. Gene Park, 5 stars.
Yes.
Us, like, 3 stars. So... But again, I continue to really surprise myself in how I'm managing to get through a game like this
because
I suck. Like I'm not good at
it. I really would like to watch you play this game.
Okay, maybe we'll do that.
I really want to just observe. Like
you're gonna laugh.
What is happening here?
You're gonna laugh. It's gonna be embarrassing.
I feel like again, you're such a stubborn person. I can just see like the brute forcing of like over and over and over.
There is definitely that where I just I get into like this relentless zone where I'm like, well, just gonna grind through it until this happens. But there's also like some instances where I'm just like awesome.
Oh,
like I'm just like dodging the hit.
Okay,
like I'm able to like do all the beautiful moves that I see people do on the internet.
Yeah.
I'm like, someone like possessed my body. Like, what is going on? You know, so. I do think the game is doing a great job of, like, teaching you along the way and, like, as you get stronger, you do feel that in like a very satisfying way, which is, I guess, the whole point of this and why people love these Souls games so much. Because I get it. I get it now, finally. I understand, like, this satisfaction of, like, leveling up your character, getting all the new stuff, and then, like, going into and completely just, like, owning a boss. And you're like, yeah, I am awesome. Like, this is great, you know? Whereas, like, a day before, you were, like, totally obliterated by that boss, that same boss. Right. You know, that's a really, that's a cool feeling.
Yeah, again, think back to, you know, the enemies you were struggling with a week ago.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a joke.
It's a joke. Yeah. Like, I don't even get hit by those enemies anymore.
Right.
And I did defeat that, was it Margit? Magit?
Margit?
Margit?
Yeah.
Market?
Yeah, that's a big milestone.
Yeah, I was in there, like, you know, earlier this week and got totally destroyed. I was like, oh, it's not happening. So I had left and done
It's totally what I did too.
Yeah, like, nope. I was like, this is a hard no. And I had all the help. I summoned the wizard. I summoned the jellyfish. I had the wolves. I like literally had everything available to me, like active. And I still got owned. So I was like, no, I gotta leave. It's too frustrating. Yeah. So I left and came back like a day later, beat him on the second try.
Yeah.
So like, this is where you're like, oh yeah, this does work. But now I'm suffering.
In
now
the castle.
I'm suffering big time.
That castle is...
castle. I don't like it.
So a lot of people before this game came out, like who had reviewed it, said like, this is like equally the most and least accessible of one of these games. And I think now that I'm in the castle,
you understand
I'm experiencing the least accessible parts, because it takes away a lot of the stuff you lean on. It's like, you don't have your horse. You can't just run away.
You can't summon.
And it's just like hard enemy after hard enemy that you have to figure out.
Yeah. And there's no like... Well, there's some getting around some of the enemies, but it doesn't work out very well in that small space. Yeah, I think that castle is what's normally turned me away from Souls games, because, you just are trapped in this corridor. There's no way out. It's dark. You're lost. You're like, you're always low on health. You're turned around. Like, it's awful.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what to do.
Yeah, I think this castle is, I think, what those games, you know, traditionally had been. I think they even had a name for them, like Legacy Dungeons.
That's what they were calling it,
Legacy
Dungeons.
Which is, you know, really tying back to the series history. Yeah. But I have been making very slow progress.
Me too.
I have to, like, it's like watching a scary movie. Like, you have to just, like, take a breather every 30 minutes.
Me too.
Like,
same.
I'm going to go to the bathroom again, or I'm going to go get another drink. Because you just need to, like, psych yourself up for it.
Yeah, and then you, like, really have to think about, like, what your moves are going to be. Because, like, one wrong move, and you have to start over.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I will say that the checkpointing has been pretty okay in the castle. Like, there have been some things where it's like, oh, I died, and that's going to be at least, like,
long,
15 minutes.
Yeah,
but but it usually isn't.
Yeah, I did get to the second checkpoint in the castle, which is that rampart tower right
next
to...
those birds.
Those birds with sword legs. I hate those birds.
There's another variation on that bird that maybe you haven't seen yet, which is going to mess with you.
I hate those freaking birds so much. I tried so many ways to I tried range. I tried so many ways.
There's some people in real life who are afraid of birds. And I think this game is not going to be good for them.
Ooh, those birds are terrifying.
I hate spiders in real life. I had to fight that weird spider person. It's it just makes my skin crawl.
I don't like rats. And there's I went to an area with
rats.
Giant, like,
so big.
Horse-sized rats.
Yeah,
they were, like, all, like rotted out and stuff with the tails. Oh, it's horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we're still, I had made a bold proclamation to you of like, oh, you know, I think I've seen everything that I can see without beating this castle. I was completely wrong. What a stupid thing to say.
I was thinking, are you sure? Because that map is not folded at all.
I unlocked another continent to the south. I did this giant castle, like, optional thing, which took me, like, a whole night to do, but was very fun.
Yeah. Same thing. I left Stormvale Castle and was like, later. I'll do this later. And last night, I got back to more exploring. I found some better items, which is great. I unlocked that Kalia area. I fought the big dragon that you also fought. Yeah. I beat that, which is cool. I did like a fort and got some new like Ashes of War. Got a new summon. Now I have like Necromancer, like these dead undead
skeletons.
Things, which is kind of cool. So I did make progress after I left the castle. Hopefully, like, once I go back in, I'll be better equipped. Who knows? Maybe not.
Back at it tonight.
The grind continues. Oh my gosh.
I feel like I know what to do next. I just need to do it.
Do you really?
I may have looked at a guide.
I definitely looked at a guide.
I was at a point where it was getting a little hard to know where to go. I was like, I just need to make sure I'm going the right way. I am going the right way.
You basically want to make your way back towards the front gate, right?
Well, now I'm doing this thing where I'm crawling on the rooftops, and I was like, is this right? Is this right? It is right. So.
All right. Maybe I need to. Yeah. I watched a couple
you'll,
of
You'll blockers. Be there soon enough.
I hope so. Yeah. Oh my gosh. It's
the game that we left behind to play Elden Ring Horizon. Have you completely left this game behind?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I didn't think anything could tear me away from Horizon.
I feel bad for these poor Horizon folks.
Bad timing. Two
twice
in a row. And this game is so beautiful and so well made, and they deserve all the credit.
Yeah. It's fine, though. I'm like, I'll come back to this, when I have some time, whether it's a few weeks or who knows, maybe it'll be a year from now. It's like, I have it. I do want to go back and play it. Yeah.
I think I was saying that maybe I'm ready for 1 hour of one game, 1 hour each game tonight.
Oh.
Do you think I should do that, do you think that's a bad idea?
You can do whatever you like. I'm not doing that, though.
I know, but do you think that's a bad idea? I'm asking you for your advice. Don't feel dismissive.
No, you can. Sure. I don't know.
It's not helpful. All right,
give us some new content for this podcast.
I think I definitely stopped further along than you.
Yeah.
Before
you were further along.
Because then I was very sucked in to Elden Ring somehow. Got totally obsessed. But maybe now that I've decided to leave the castle behind for a little bit, I can do some exploring and then go back to Horizon for a little bit.
Now, I had expected that I would not be playing anything else until Kirby comes out. But segue to this next thing.
Yeah.
I may have to eat those words because
what is this game? I don't
just
know
this morning I was just scrolling Twitter and I came across this tweet. It was oh, this game Tunic is coming out next week. And I was what is that?
Tell me about it.
So I looked it up. It's this kind of new take on a classic top-down Zelda game.
Oh, okay.
But also, Breath of the Wild and Elden Ring, it seems to really focus on not telling you, you figure it out yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you're this cute little, looking like it's a fox character.
Okay.
The graphics look very nice and stylized, but it's just this top-down kind of action exploration game that just really stood out to me. Wow, this looks really cool. So I think it's on Xbox and PC. First of all, so it said there was a demo. I couldn't find it though. I spent this morning cruising my
demo.
Xbox. I didn't see it. So, but it's out next week. So
okay, maybe we can check it out for next week's show.
I would love to check it out. So
well, now we have all these games that we can play for 10 minutes before we go back to Elden Ring. That's always fun though. Sometimes you need a breather for something as if just different.
Right.
Okay, well we have our school assignments for next week for sure. Game wise, all of you do.
Don't forget the extra credit.
That's right.
A plus.
You guys have the same assignment.
A plus.
Everybody go play these games and we will report. I'll report back next week.
Yes.
How fun. I love it. All right.
On to the news. Kind of a light week news-wise.
Sometimes you don't want
That's fine.
That much news.
It's totally fine.
There's no Sonic this week, which is exciting for you. There's not another Sonic.
The people are really on edge about my Sonic
You can't
feelings.
Go there.
I did. Oh, this was so embarrassing.
What happened to you?
So we put out that little clip on Twitter of me saying what I had to say about Sonic.
Oh, yeah?
And the person who runs the Sonic the Hedgehog Twitter account had a very just sad response. I was like, real people are being hurt because of what Sonic did to me.
You were hurt by what Sonic
did to you. I was
hurt.
But now it's hurting everybody.
Well,
it's a vicious cycle of pain. That is the Sonic cycle, people.
Yeah.
The Sonic cycle is well documented.
The gold rings.
Just hit hit the eject button. It's not too late on Sonic.
Oh, gosh.
See, now we made it about Sonic. No. All right. I don't have much to say about this, but I thought it was interesting.
Yeah.
Co-founder of Next Level Games announces retirement.
Mm-hmm. We love Next Level Games.
Doug Tronsgaard, did you ever have a chance to meet him?
I did not.
Met him once.
Okay. We know some other folks over there at Next Level that are amazing.
Yeah,
and
I really just put this here as an excuse to say I love Next Level Games.
I was just going to say,
despite the fact that they threw Gooigi gunk in our faces with really a lot of
reckless
vigor.
They were very nice to me, but not so nice to you.
I got gunked.
You were face full of gunk.
Oh, my goodness.
But yes, Next Level, so talented. Yeah. I mean, they're the latest Luigi's Mansion game. Yeah. We still play every year, pretty much, because we love it.
That's a feel-good story. Acquired by Nintendo, making these great games.
Yeah.
Wonderful people. Love them.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait to see what they're doing next. It's going to be great.
Back to Elden Ring. Elden Ring is the UK's biggest non-FIFA or COD. Don't call it that. Release since 2018. This is interesting.
Yeah. This is crazy.
This game is blowing up.
In the UK, these two games, like, rarely get toppled, like, if ever, right? So,
yeah,
I mean, for a game like footsies.
It's different.
That's different. Strike, not strike. Also soccer, but also footy, but also footsie.
Want to know the rules of strike?
It's soccer.
It's a different game, but the rules are exactly the same.
Yeah, kick a ball, you see, into that thing, into that net. That's it.
We also see some of the Steam numbers, and like, oh, there's like a million people playing this game,
like,
concurrently.
Yeah.
Are you surprised that this game is like broken out sales-wise?
Yes, I am. Yeah. I am really surprised. This has traditionally been a very popular genre, I think, but a little bit, again, there was a barrier for a lot of like normal me kinds of people to really have a way to get into it. So I'm very happy. I think it's great that more people are going to be able to experience this type of game, and it's awesome. I think they deserve all the credit because the game is truly incredible. Yeah. So congrats.
There's a lot of parallels to Monster Hunter almost, where again, it's a very complex game that has this very passionate community that you just wonder like, oh, is it ever going to break out? And it kind of did. I mean, Monster Hunter, those last games have been selling crazy.
Exactly. It's exactly like that.
And you know, I mean, even play pretty similarly. So I think people maybe just need to give more credit to the game playing public of like,
world.
we like different things. We don't just want to play like Madden and GTA. Like, we're open to trying new things and challenging ourselves.
As long as it's, you know, worth it, worth the time. And like, as long as, again, it's accessible, you know.
Well, this is not accessible.
What is more so than before?
Yeah. I did see a funny thing going around of like, if Ubisoft made Elden Ring and it was just like the HUD.
The menus?
Was
like, maybe I should go check out this
game.
There
was one thing that I lost, like, press X to activate Tarnished Sense. It was so funny.
Right button, too. Yeah. Exactly. I saw that, too. Yeah. That's a really interesting topic, though. Maybe it's a little too long for today, but it's like, when is it... What is the right balance?
Too much hand-holding?
Yeah, what is the right balance? Yeah. Because, and then there was another, like, similar discussion about, like, the hardcore Souls players saying that some of the additions in this game, like the summons and stuff like that, means that you're playing on easy
mode. We are not having that debate on this show.
No, we cannot have that debate.
We will not engage in this discourse.
Discord?
No.
Discourse?
Discourse. We will not be jumping into that.
Yeah, but it's interesting to see it out there, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
A lot of opinions.
You also see, like, the UK being... You know, they must be very open in sharing their results. A lot of times people just be like, oh, well, you know, this represents all regions. Like, it doesn't. I think in this case, it's a pretty good indicator that this game's big. But, you know, always good to wait for the numbers.
The full global numbers
or
whatever.
Those NPDs or whatever you got. Well, these days it's hard to know because you don't get the digital numbers. So.
Yeah. It's weird that we don't get that mixed in with it nowadays, the digital numbers.
Yeah.
Should.
The other thing I'll say is, like, you know, Bandai Namco is the publisher of this game. You know, they're big, but, you know, they don't have, like, the same budget as, you know, an Activision.
Right.
So, you know, again, it's even more of a, you know, slow burn of this game getting popular and great testament.
And it's, like, a testament to, you know, sometimes how little you really have to do.
If sometimes a game is good, sometimes a game sells itself.
It sells itself. Like, sometimes we joke around, like, do we need to work at all on this thing? Maybe not.
You put this out of order in the rundown.
I'm sorry. Just remember it, though.
This is why, again, I'll manage these things from here on.
Wow.
Okay? I got it from here. Thank you.
Manage the Patreon. I did get access to the Patreon.
Oh, I'm so upset about this.
So exciting to me. Now I can see all your little comments.
I'm going to block you.
No.
Netflix purchases the Stranger Things developer.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Netflix has been making this big push into games.
Yeah.
Have you tried these? What do you think of this?
I have actually
tried
these. Really? So, if you watch Netflix on, like, your, like, iPad or something, which is something...
You watch Netflix, like, basically all day long.
I watch Netflix a lot. I'm always watching something. Don't look, okay? This is what people want. They want to be under a blanket, and they want to tea, and they want to watch Netflix or play video games. That is what people want.
good.
Don't judge. But yes, if you watch it on like your iPad or whatever, or probably your laptop, you can, there's a games section that pops up. It looks kind of like the arcade in Apple Arcade.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Stranger Stranger Things games are like their marquee games, you know, it's like very like pixel, like kind of like.
There was a Stranger Things game on Switch, I remember.
That's right.
And there was the other one, the Dark Crystal.
Yeah. So it definitely looks like they're trying to make that push into gaming. They're like putting it right there on the homepage, like right under the, you know, popular US popular like shows or whatever. So it's kind of interesting. The qualities of the games are actually quite good, like quite
high quality. These are all mobile games at this point.
Right, all mobile games. So yeah, it's you know, it's I don't know if it's going to take off, like but if you really are a fan of some of the franchises, I guess, that's on Netflix and you want that secondary experience, like if you're like a hardcore Stranger Things fan, I suppose you could get into the games.
Yeah. I was wondering, like, you see these big tech companies getting into games, and I always wonder, you know, like a Google or like an Amazon, and I always wonder, like, do you know what you're getting into? Like, are you clear on the commitment that you need to make and kind of, you know, the hit-based nature of it? And you're like, you're not, the first thing's not going to always work out, and you need to commit, so I just don't
And then
know.
The content pipeline, and we talk about that a lot. Like, you just, like, look at how many games need to come to your system, your console, before it becomes regarded as a place for gaming, you know? So it's like...
Yeah, so I think this is, like, a cool perk for subscribers. You know, I hope they stick with it, and they keep, you know, trying to grow it and just don't, you know, bail out at the first kind of resistance they get.
Right, that's right. But it sounds like they are... at least committed because they are buying these studios. And I've put this out of order, but another related Netflix thing is that Cuphead show.
You watched this?
I watched this. It's actually really good. It's very, I mean, this that art style and that game completely lends itself to like old time, like Silly Symphonies type of cartoons that I used to watch as a kid. So what a great way to get that IP out even more to like new people and kids or whatever. Not a game for kids because it's really hard. But if you're like a 6-year-old and you can like master Cuphead, then you are a genius.
Yeah.
But the show is super well produced. Really like just cute little 15-minute funny episodes. Just totally reminiscent of... like old school cartoons that you and I probably watched.
A lot of anvils dropping on heads.
A lot of that. A lot of that kind of like slapsticky like humor.
Right.
So they're cubs and they live with their grandfather, which is like a tea kettle. So it's like hilarity ensues, you know.
Yeah,
but it's really cool to see that franchise, or not franchise, but like that game getting so much.
Call it a franchise.
Is it a franchise?
They got a sequel coming. They got
there
a that's
go.
A franchise.
All right. We got they got franchise.
The multimedia franchise.
Wow. Yeah. Big time. Yeah. You got backwards hugged by him.
That's a very nice
Big
man.
Big time.
I let him do it. Yeah.
Yeah, they're awesome. Yeah. That team is incredible. I'm so excited for the DLC that's coming in the summertime, I think, right? Mm-hmm. We're definitely going to be playing that. But yeah, I'm so happy for them that they are like getting the brand out there, and it's super cute and well produced, and I'm sure a lot of you have watched it also. But I think if you have like kids or something, it'll be perfect for that.
Nice.
Yeah. Very cute.
All right, we got a mega Q&A section this week.
Yes, all from Patreon.
Yeah. And that's just where we're going to be doing this from now on.
Yeah.
And we got like over, I think, 50 questions this time.
Yeah.
You know, I'll say, if your question didn't get answered, just keep asking it, because
we're going to be doing this.
There's only so many that we can do in a week, but a lot of these are really good that we want to get to eventually.
Yeah,
so just keep asking.
And, you know, as we talk about Patreon expansions, questions are going to be a big part of that. Yeah. There's going to be some exclusive stuff when it comes to questions. Yeah.
So let's just jump right in. Question from Garrett Hullfish. Mm-hmm. I'd love to hear your thoughts on the Playdate. The design and limitations really remind me of the creativity first method Nintendo focuses on.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
you're in luck. I have one pre-ordered.
Oh, I was going to say, you have it.
No, I wish
you
I
don't
had
not
it.
Have it now.
I do not have it now.
On your person, no.
No,
this I is do where you take it out of your tiny pocket and start cranking it.
I love it. I had the exact same thought, Garrett, as I learned about about this, and as I was like looking at what this was, it really felt like early days Nintendo, like GBA kind of situation, where it's like very inventive, cool little gadgety thing, but what is it exactly? We don't know. So yeah, I definitely pulled the trigger right away. I pre-ordered it. I think I'm in that second batch, though. I know they had some battery.
They were doing it in waves. Mm-hmm. I was a little, I wanted one too, but it was like, oh, you're in like the fifth wave. I was like, oh, I'll just wait.
Yeah, I definitely want us to do like some sort of like unboxing, like playthrough video with Playdate when I finally get it. Playdate, if you're listening, like send me mine early, yeah? Please? Please? Because I'm excited. I really want to check it out. And I think it's really like really interesting.
It looks super cool. I'm very fascinated too in the way they're like delivering the games, where it's like in seasons.
Yeah, almost like a TV show.
I just don't know what to expect from that, but it's very different. So I think it's cool.
I think so too. I think that's going to be really fun. But yes, I'm patiently, impatiently waiting for mine.
Yes.
Next question. Clinta 13. It's a question for me. So
it's a question for you.
Krista mentioned in the first episode she considered leaving Nintendo from some other jobs. If it's not too personal, I was wondering if she could share a little bit more about what job she considered and what they entailed and what led to her ultimately staying at Nintendo. Good question. We definitely want to go into this more in another Nintendo story time segment.
Well, short stories, I found out and I freaked out. That's what happened.
What?
I found out.
Oh, you found out. I was like, I found out?
I freaked out.
Yeah, I'll answer the last part of your question. What ultimately led her to staying at Nintendo? It was Kit, so I'll just leave it there.
I freak out.
But yes, there's many times where, with all jobs, you might consider other opportunities, and there are lots of factors that go into it. But for me, it was definitely like the stuff that you and I were working on together, like Nintendo Minute, that was really important for me to keep going with. Yeah. So, yeah.
All right, next question from Dispel, who has a nice little Rosalina icon. What game/series do you want to delve into and immerse yourself, but haven't for whatever reason? And then he notes that Breath of the Wild is his game.
I'm so envious of you, because I would love that superpower where I could forget things and experience it like the first time again. Mm. And if I could...
You just need that Cuphead anvil to fall on
your head. I need to be like...
You'll be right there.
Or like that leaden ball to just like hit me in the
head.
Get
that lump grow out of there. Well, there is a game that we've been talking about dabbling in, which is Final Fantasy 14.
Yes!
Which...
But when, though?
When are we going to have time to play an MMO? I don't know.
People, I really want to go back to an MMO,
People
though.
Seem to love this game, and it seems very cool.
Yeah.
I'm not a big MMO person, but this seems very accessible for me, so I'm open to it.
I just feel so ready to get back into another MMO. Like, I was such a huge WoW player. And I loved the playing MMOs, you know? And I just haven't gotten back to it, into it for so long that because I keep searching for that next game that is worthy for me to get back to an MMO. And this one might be it.
Well, see, now tonight you can play 15 minutes of Elden Ring, 15 minutes of Horizon. You can play 15 minutes of each of these eShop games, and you can play 15 minutes of Final Fantasy and call it a night.
I won't be sleeping ever again. I'm just like up all night with like a giant, like, carafe of coffee or something.
Is there another one though for you?
That's a good one.
It's a very good question. Just play it at all.
I do want to play Cyberpunk, but that's not really.
Again,
that's another one that I like purchased.
We bought it. We're ready.
Yeah, I bought it.
But we're not ready.
But we're also not ready. Very interested though.
B. Najari. Uh-huh. Asks, I had no idea you both had so much responsibility at Nintendo. Yeah. I thought of you both as entertaining personalities Nintendo had hired to produce Nintendo Minute.
Nope.
That's why I'm so glad you have your own show now. But how much of your personal job identity was the Nintendo Minute stuff versus the non-public facing role?
Oh, man. I think Nintendo Minute,
it's a good question,
from our day-to-day responsibilities, job titles, and jobs was quite honestly a small part of it, which we... wished it was we could focus more on Nintendo Minute, because I think that's the thing that you and I loved the most. But I mean, you were literally the head of the entire social media team, original content and influencer, so you were very busy. Big time boss.
I think it was interesting, like, depending on like what setting you're in or who you were with, because, you know, I think there were people, like, you know, if we go to a show, we go to PAX, like, people don't know what our quote real job is, and it's like, well, we're just Nintendo Minute. There were people at Nintendo who knew very well that we did both and were juggling both.
And there's people there were that people didn't
who didn't know
about Nintendo Media at all, you know, that just expected you to do your job, your real job.
And there were also some people who suggested to me, it was like, well, maybe you should, you shouldn't do that anymore because you're,
well, you're
getting busy.
You were very high up. So that, I think, was a fear that I had that one day they'd be like, yeah, he's too busy to do this. You can't do this anymore. But yes.
So, don't worry about it. I got this.
And then you can subsequently continue to work for like 18 hours a day.
I got trolled by this person's name.
Oh me, oh my.
It's oh me, oh my.
Oh me, oh my.
How do you guys feel about Animal Crossing New Horizons compared to New Leaf?
Wow.
What's your favorite title and why? You're the expert on this. I'll let you go first.
I have worked on almost all of the Animal Crossing games. Hazard. New Leaf, I think I sunk more hours into.
Before your dog?
Before my dog ate it.
My dog ate my
game. It was like thousands of hours. And Horizons just came out at such like a pivotal time. Yeah. A game that we all needed as a world collective.
Yeah.
So it's hard to pick. I love Horizons for all of the expanded like world building functions. Mm-hmm. But I think I miss the personality of New Leaf. Mm. Like there are so many interactions that you would have with the different like NPCs and all that stuff that you know, when you're on the island, it almost feels a little bit lonely. Like you're just kind of like it's your island to make your own, which is what's special about Horizons, but you kind of miss like that whole like you're the mayor of this community, you're like building this like world for these people, for these animals, people. But you know what I mean? Like
that is a common criticism of New Horizons, is like those interactions don't feel very deep.
They don't,
I don't care at all about that. That's not what I go to those games for. I prefer New Horizons. I like New Leaf. It just felt like it was really at the absolute limit of the hardware on the 3DS.
Yeah.
It just felt a little creaky.
A little bit.
Where it's like, all right, this game's going to load for 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. Although
Horizons though,
started to get that.
Once you got your island all like built out, it got a little bit of 15
but, you know,
minute load
once
times.
You're up and running, it runs well, plays well. Mm-hmm. Whereas New Leaf just felt like, oh my gosh, this is going to be smoke coming out of this 3DS any second.
Local
pizza box. Have any of you ever played a Klonoa game? If not, guess what's coming soon?
Well, guess what?
What?
You worked on Klonoa.
I did work on it on the Wii Klonoa game.
See?
Which that was actually the first Klonoa game. I wasn't really exposed to the franchise before then when I was working at Bandai Namco. It's a very fun, cute, 2D platformer. Mm-hmm. Surprisingly, the ending of the first Klonoa game is like an emotional gut punch that you're not going to be ready for.
Am I going to cry?
You might cry, actually.
Really?
Like, people are like, seriously, like, I can't handle watching
this
ending.
Does Klonoa not make
I will not tell you.
He's cute. Is it a he?
Which one's Klonoa?
It's the one with the ears, right?
You'll find out. Oh. Play the game and you'll find out. Or just watch it on YouTube.
I don't
but
want
But be
to.
Ready. Get the tissue ready.
The tissue
But you have ready. Not played Klonoa.
No, I haven't even heard of Klonoa.
It's very fun.
Yeah, so maybe that's a fun thing
it's
to
one
do.
Of those series that they've been a little inconsistent with over the years.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it was like not Pokemon on the yearly basis here. Yeah.
Okay. Fangs with a Z.
Fangs.
Have you seen the Batman movie this weekend?
Oh, you gave me some bad info.
The rare non... I really...
You really steered me wrong.
This is me.
You steered me
this
wrong.
This is me taking the L. So I heard...
Mm-hmm. Stop touching that plant.
The plant needs to keep its hands to itself. I heard the Batman is going to be on HBO Max.
Wrong, so I was like, wrong.
Sweet. I'm going to watch that this weekend. Yeah. And then I was like, where is it? Where is it? And I looked it up. It's like, it's not coming until much later.
It's April 18th, I think, on HBO Max.
Is that confirmed?
I don't know. Maybe.
But this movie sounds great. I can't wait to see it.
It's not Batman. It's The Batman.
That's what I said.
Featuring that guy from Twilight.
Robbie P.
Robbie
right?
P. And Harry Potter.
Huh?
Cedric Diggory from Harry Potter is Robbie P.
Wait, the guy who's Harry Potter is in this?
No. The guy that plays the Batman, Rob Pattinson, also was in Harry Potter as Cedric Diggory, the guy that gets...
I'm not a big Harry Potter head.
Potterhead?
No, I'm not.
But yeah, no, we did not watch Batman because... Oh, sorry.
The
Batman, because we didn't... Because I thought it was going to be an HBO Max told me, and then I wasn't there. So, but I'm interested. Across the oceans of time. Wow, dramatic.
I'm excited for this question because I don't know the answer myself.
Yes, you do.
This is another one for you.
We know the origins of Kit's username, Kishasan. So maybe we know the origins of Chris's username, Breath of Air.
The lore. The crystal lore.
This is
lore.
Embarrassing because I think it's going to date me.
It goes back
me.
To your like Zanga accounts or whatever.
Don't search my Zanga account. Don't.
Patreon tier. If you... Access to Krista Zegas.
$1 million. Yeah. <Just kidding. laughs> Oh, that's embarrassing. This was definitely something that is going to date me, but I had this as my AOL screen name in like high school and college. And I don't know, I just kind of like it. And I just was like, well, I'm just going to, I'll be one of those people that will just carry my AOL screen name with me for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Good thing is that my, at least it wasn't like baby Asian girl 27.
Well, I had an AOL screen name that
I know what that is.
Very aggressively against Sega, which leads into my Sonic
your issues. Your issues.
I won't even repeat what it is, but
I have a legacy of that.
I can't be using that today.
No.
No.
Don't do that. Again, you can't share these things. It's too spicy. I somehow like sometimes that screen name still comes up on my
What does it mean?
It doesn't mean anything. It's just a screen name.
How did you come up with it?
I don't know. I breathed.
Just a random, the name generator? You just hit the button until you
I can't remember why I came up with it. I think I think it was like very, it was like, I don't know, it was very like random, you know? It wasn't like descriptive of who I was. Like it got an anonymity effect.
Great name to keep with you for the rest of your life.
it doesn't have my name in it, you know?
Yeah.
You don't know the crazy people on AOL back in those days. Those chat rooms.
Mm. Oh, boy. Moving on. Paul. Which do you prefer, higher resolution with more detailed graphics and lighting or higher and stable frame rate? We talked about this a few weeks ago. Now you...
Yes.
You said you had been doing the prioritizing resolution.
I switched
it. Did you try it?
I did.
And? Yeah. And did you go back?
Yes.
Really?
To resolution, yeah.
Wow.
Again, this projector... I need the
Also, recently you told me you went to the eye doctor. So maybe you are...
I did go to the eye doctor.
What? This resolution. You can't even see the screen.
I'm like squinting at the screen. I went back to resolution. I do like the rich graphics.
Okay. It's interesting because when I...
You frame rate.
I switch from frame rate to resolution, I honestly cannot tell the difference.
Oh, really?
And... I can definitely tell the difference in the frame rate, so I just go with that. And all the games that I play that have that option, it's been that way. It's like, I can't see this level of detail.
Okay.
So, I don't need it.
I think more about the depth of the colors that I like. Everything just looks like...
Oh, boy.
Like, more, like, brighter and more intense.
Well, I don't know if you need a mode for that.
That's what I think it does. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe my eyes are seeing something else. Who knows?
Your poor eyes.
My poor little peepers.
How many fingers am I holding up?
The doctor did that to me and I was like, huh? I can't see that line. Okay.
Devin.
Bryce.
Yes.
Have either of you considered hosting an event at some point? Oh, yes. We really miss the event.
It's been about 2 years. We did one at the ill-fated PAX East 2020, the event that maybe shouldn't have happened. But, nobody's really been able to do much. I saw PAX East is happening this year. That's exciting.
I know.
I think if things continue to progress in the right direction, we can think about this.
Yeah, that's something that early on, as we were like thinking through what we wanted to do for this whole thing, is we wanted a way to do these kinds of meetups and hang out with people live, play games. Like, that was always in the works. But yes, hopefully things get better soon and we can see you guys in person again, because we really miss that.
But maybe in the meantime, there's a way we can do something.
Yeah, online. Yeah. Mario Kart 8 is coming up. Great opportunity.
All that DLC.
Online stuff. Mike Chin. Have you thought of nicknames for the Kit and Krista fan community? Critters. It's so cute. I love it.
Yes. Excellent idea.
Yes. You wanted...
You
wanted...
I want something... I do want that, but...
to separate us.
I also want, you know, people who are fans of Krista and people who are fans of Kit, because we have that. There's people who like me. There's people who like you. There's people who don't like you. There's all these things.
There's people who don't like you.
No, those don't exist. So, it might be fun just, you know... Split these people down the middle and see what they...
Don't split them down the middle.
It's not like they don't like us, you know, at all.
That's a mean thing.
But they might have
a
mild preference towards one or the other.
You think so?
So if you have any suggestions, we're all yours.
Also, please like me more.
Please clap.
Sasa Papak.
I think we had a question from Sasa Papak. Hopefully we're saying these right.
Sorry if we're not.
Last time. So good job with the questions. How do you think Nintendo convinces EA and Activision that the Switch or next console are viable business opportunities for them? Why do you think EA hasn't touched the Switch, really, considering the sales? So, well, so I think these are two different, you know, Activision and EA are two different things.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Activision has really narrowed down its whole business to, like, Call of Duty.
Yeah.
And it's very clear, like, all
right. COD, by the way.
COD.
COD.
you know, Call of Duty is made for these next-gen consoles. Mm-hmm. There's a mobile version, but, you know, we don't really want to, you know, try and make it work on the Switch. Or, you know, there was a Wii U version. I played that Wii U version of Call of Duty. I like that, actually.
It was okay.
But, you know, you can kind of understand it more when they're so narrowly focused. And, then, you know, when they had Skylanders, that was on Switch.
Yeah.
They have, Activision has... Spyro still, Spyro Crash still. Bandicoot.
Yeah.
Those games are on Switch, so I give them a bit of credit. Of, like, you know, most, you know, these games that they have that are not Call of Duty, they're there. So EA, though, is the one where I just don't get it. And this has been the story since the Wii.
The Wii,
And it's like, this is a huge potential audience, and they just don't seem to care, and I don't know why.
It's not for them. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, you know, recently they put all their eggs in that basket of the engine, the Frostbite engine, and it was like, well, this doesn't work on the Switch, so we can't really do
it. We can't really do anything.
I think they recently overcame that, but you're still not seeing that,
like,
many
games.
Like, a lot
of games,
That's their loss. I guess that's kind of my takeaway.
Huge audience, though, you know? So, but I don't really understand that business decision.
Yeah.
So.
At the same time, I'm also not, like...
Hardcore missing
I'm not
anything.
Crying because, like, oh, my favorite EA... I think. Like, besides the sports stuff, like, sometimes I struggle to think of, like, what
else
EA's game...
Is...
I mean, there's the Star Wars stuff, which I like, but it's so infrequent. I don't know.
This question is for you.
Oh?
The last question.
Yes. Since Kit is a Warriors fan, what is his favorite Warriors game and his least favorite? And has Krista ever played one? Does she like them? So I will say that the golden age of the Warriors games was Dynasty Warriors 3 through 5.
Okay.
And I think my brain says 5 is the best, but my heart says 3 is the best. but all of those are very good. And again, they just really nailed, like, if you're... This game is so focused on the combat and just mowing down. They really nailed the feel.
It's a feeling.
The feeling of that.
Yeah.
Of mowing these peoples down. They also had the Empires spinoff,
which
was
more
of, like, you know, well, here's this map of China and you're, like, you know, gaining territory.
Yeah, it's more like Civilization.
Very cool idea. I always felt like they were just a bit off on the execution of those that made it a little less fun. But unfortunately, the more recent Dynasty Warriors games have not been up to
your expectations.
But there's always the next one.
Yeah, I have dabbled, but I'm not as big of a fan as you. But I do love the idea and the feeling of, like, that mowing down enemies thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you used to watch those, like, old Chinese movies.
Oh, yeah.
It's exactly like that.
Right.
And it's great. You know, that is always, like...
Like Assassin's Creed, we were talking about. Like, this does have some links to history. Like,
I
bought... Romance of the Three Kingdoms.
Right.
I read about 2 pages and I put it down.
It's really boring.
Because it was extremely dry.
What was that other movie that we watched? Red Cliff?
Red Cliff, yeah.
Red Cliff is, like, basically Dynasty Warriors.
Right. So there, I think for us who finds that interesting, like, it is a path into that sort of...
You don't see Chinese history a lot, too. So that's always fun to like... have that be more out there.
But I've enjoyed seeing the series get a little bit more respect. I mean, not a lot, but
really not a lot.
I mean, when you know, back when I was playing those games on PS2, like, that was a laughingstock. Like, if you played those games, like, bro, what are you doing?
Your gaming taste gets, like, slashed.
Yeah. And there were, you know, amongst, like, you know, the games media, it was really nasty,
badly reviewed, and just did not have a good
reputation. They just thought these games were trash. So I mean, it's nice to see people seeing the redeeming
legitimacy of it all again. Yes.
And now you've got a Warriors game for every franchise under the sun.
I know, right? Yeah. I know. Seriously. So hey, jokes on them, I guess.
Yeah.
All right. That is the end of this beautiful list of questions from you wonderful patrons, and we love it. Keep them coming. We'll ask. We usually ask on Saturday mornings, now that I have access to see it all, so that you guys can, like, submit your questions over the weekend, and then we answer them when we record on Mondays.
So, right.
Yes. Thank you for all the great questions, as usual. Yeah, we made it to the end of another
amazing
episode. Hours
another
later.
Perfect episode. We're at an hour and a half.
Yeah. All right.
I'd like to know, do people think these episodes are too long? We were almost at 2 hours last time.
I can't believe how long it was last time. The switch.
If you've made it this far, maybe you're not worried by the length.
We do post the highlights. So those are always out. Like, we kind of spaced them out this time around, per your suggestion. Mm-hmm. And I think that works well. And if you guys want to just catch a highlight, we'll always have that as well. But thank you so much for sticking with us for this amount of time. We know that's a lot of time. But we had so much fun just chatting about all of these cool things. We hope that you guys enjoy this episode. Don't forget to subscribe to this channel, YouTube channel, that you're probably watching this.
Or wherever you're listening or watching.
Please subscribe. We'll put all the links here so you see. Don't forget to turn on your notification bell and like and leave us a comment. We continue to love seeing and reading your comments.
Read them all still.
Read them all.
Yeah.
Every single one. We love them. Don't forget to follow us on Patreon to get early access to the episodes. You get 48 hours early access. So, join our family if you want to get early access and if you want us to answer your questions. And follow us on all the socials.
Right.
I really want to push TikTok because the crazy things
on TikTok.
Doing
some weird things though.
Is really fun for us. And I want you to see them. So please join us there. Won't you? It's different stuff than here.
Kirby wants you.
Yes. To join us on TikTok. All right, we have to stop because we gotta film a Kirby video now.
We gotta go.
Yay! Okay, bye.
Bye.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.